This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's. That's wrong. We must take America back. Liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller. And it is the 22nd of December, 2015. And on the program today, I've got Deanna Spingola. And Deanna has written a book, Screening Sandy Hook, Causes and Consequences. Now, December 14, 2012 is when I believe it was 26 people. Was it 20 children and 6 adults? At any rate, it was ballyhooed event. The gun grabbers came out. And I remember going over this information when it first came out, finding out about Adam Lanza and the pictures that I saw of this kid. I'd seen stone cold cocaine heads, crackheads, that didn't look like this kid did. I mean, you could tell just by the pictures and the expressions on the face that there was something wrong with this kid. Psychotic, drug induced. What was it? Well, his actions weren't normal. And Deanna took a look at this, and not to pick fly doo-doo out of the sugar bowl just for being contrarian or writing a book or selling a book, she takes her interest very seriously. And Deanna started to look at this, and she compiled a book. The book itself, Screening Sandy Hook, Causes and Consequences, it's more of a war and peace novel because there's a lot of information in here. Deanna, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm good. And you?
Hanging in there on a Christmas season that I don't want to wish your life away or my life away, but I wished it was over with.
I do too. Seriously.
You know, yes, you took a lot of heat for writing this book.
Yes, I actually, excuse me, I'm just recovering from pneumonia and I still have a little cough, but I took a lot of heat when I reevaluated things. Now, when Sandy Hook initially happened, there were a lot of theories put forth within 24 hours. There were theories put forth, there were videos that went viral on the internet, and claims that were made. And I thought, well, you know, I was actually finishing my third book. I really didn't have time to look at it, to look at Sandy Hook. And then in January of 2014, after I put the third book to bed, I thought, well, I'm going to look at this and just kind of evaluate it on my own. And so I invited a couple of people on my program, both of whom declined. One of them told me that I didn't know the material well enough to have her on my program. And usually when I have somebody on the program, I have them on to discuss their expertise in a particular thing. I really don't have to know everything that they know. That's not the point. I have people on my program to tell us what they know about something. So I didn't feel like my knowing all the material was relevant. I thought,
Wait a minute. Let me back up here for 1 second.
Sure.
I've been doing this for 23 years, and I've yet to have a possible interviewee tell me that I didn't know enough to ask intelligent questions.
Yeah, I guess that's what she was saying. But what she said was, you don't know the material well enough, as if there were some talking points that I wasn't aware of, or there was something that I was missing. And so I thought, okay, she's made a video. Since she declined my invitation to be on my program, I thought, well, I'll just look at her video and I will figure out what it is that I don't know. And as I began looking at this video with very critical eyes, I thought, something's off here. There's a lot of really speculative statements in here and just downright idiotic claims that I just couldn't buy into it. And so I did a 3-part series on the critique, part 1, 2, 3. And then I thought, oh heck, you know, I'm just, doing this critique. I think I'll write a book. In fact, somebody said, hey, why don't you write a book? And so I stopped doing the critique. I stopped picking on this person, and I really wasn't picking on her. I was just critiquing the evidence that she was proffering. And so I quit the critique and decided to really dig into it. And really, until the reports were released at the end of 2013, it was very difficult. It's very difficult to counter what the government is saying about a particular event when you don't know what they have said. But right within the very, very first week, six weeks, there were claims that were made, and the very, very same claims are the ones that are used today. The very same claims. They have not changed the claims at all. Number one, no children were killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Number two, Sandy Hook was not an operating school. Number three, they showed a purported Social Security death index record stating that Adam Lanza had died on the 13th. That was corrected. It was something that one of the people that prepared his body, the secretary was filling in the data. She got the date wrong. Within 24 hours, she corrected herself. Number four, they promoted the idea that Adam Lanza did not exist. So, in one instance, they say, oh, he died on the 13th. And then they say, no, we changed. He didn't exist at all. And then number five, they said, well, Adam Lanza could not have carried off the shooting. Well, we have 9-year-old kids, 6-year-old kids, 7-year-old kids who can operate the very same gun that he used for the shooting. Number six, they introduced the idea of satanic worship, suggesting that an infant, one of the Parker kids, was sucking on her fingers, and it was very satanic the way she was doing it. Number seven, they introduced the idea that it was all about gun control and disarming the public. They introduced the idea that the Mossad was behind Sandy Hook. They introduced the idea that other shootings were hoaxes staged by the government. They introduced the idea that actors were used at Sandy Hook. They introduced the idea that Sandy Hook was a drill. And they introduced the idea that officials were smirking at Aurora, and then they also applied that to Sandy Hook. And they also introduced the idea of premeditation. Now, they've not changed those theories since that time. And these were all pretty much set in stone by the end of January of
2013. 2013, yeah. 2014. There were inconsistent...
Or 2013. I'm sorry.
Go
Go ahead.
Yeah, there were inconsistencies versus the claims versus the available information. And when I first saw this, the first thing that I thought about after viewing the pictures that were available of Adam Lanza was that this kid had to have been drugged up. And then the other information started coming in, that there were shooting drills in the area that were taking place simultaneously, or the fire station itself was used as a pre-staging area. And the contentions in the videos that surrounded this, if you were to take it at face value, you would go, boy, this is pretty suspicious. And of course, the unanswered questions, and here is where the trick lies. With the unanswered questions, when you ask the question, and we're at a disadvantage, and when I say that, we do not have access to all of their records, all of the quote-unquote officials. We can't just pick up a phone and get them on a phone and get a statement. I saw them going into lockdown mode within 48 to 72 hours with tightly controlled press conferences. And I can remember, I think, Deanna, it was the lead investigation on this. This wasn't federal, this is state. And it was the state police that held the press conference. And they in as much came right out and said that, this is to debunk conspiracy theories that are cropping up out there. Now, if you take this in its totality, based on the information that was being put out there, and then no answers to counter the claims that things weren't right at Sandy Hook, there becomes a vacuum, and people do not like vacuums any more than a carpenter likes hammering on a screw and not a nail. You know, it kind of maybe look like it, but it's not quite the same, and the applications are different, and the means to go about, you know, using that application is most assuredly different. So here we are, all these months later, all these years later, and we have people out there that are still, on the track. And I gotta be honest with you, I'm about 98% sure here that, this might have not been a false flag scenario. And that's another problem that we have, because we have such a deep distrust of the government, and rightfully so, and its agencies. You know, we're left with the position to cherry pick what explanation fits best and then go with that one, because obviously we don't trust the officials.
Right, right. But that does not mean that bad people do not do bad things. If you attribute everything that happens in the United States to the government, that's just, you know, it's inaccurate. I mean, people do bad things. And if you look at the school shootings in this country, the statistics are absolutely amazing. And I have links on my website, on my schedule page, that gives these statistics. And we're talking about a lot of kids that were killed in school shootings. And no, not all of them got the same attention that Sandy Hook did. However, you must keep in mind that the reason Sandy Hook was so significant is because we're talking about kindergarten kids. We're talking about first graders that were slaughtered like fish in a barrel. Now, most of the other school shootings were perpetrated by people who actually attended those schools. They shot teenagers. Yes, shooting anybody is terrible, but shooting little kids is pretty awful. And it was going to provoke a lot of questions, a lot of very serious questions about what the heck is happening to our kids, that they are becoming violent. They're going into schools, shooting their teachers, shooting fellow students. What the heck is happening to the kids in this country from birth on? And a lot of kids are on a lot of drugs. And if you look at the school at the statistics, and then you look at all of the kids that are on drugs, all the kids, okay, every mass shooting literally has one thing in common, and the commonality is that most of those kids that did the shooting were either on drugs or were coming off drugs.
Now, when you say drugs, when you say a person is a drug user, they'll commonly refer to illegal drugs or drugs that the government says that people cannot use. You're not talking about marijuana. You're not talking about crack.
No.
You're talking about prescription drugs here.
FDA-approved drugs kill more people and cause more damages than any illicit street drug ever could. We're talking about Schedule II drugs. We're talking about drugs that doctors will put even infants under the age of 12 months on that are Schedule II that parents, because a doctor prescribes something, they look at that authority figure and they think, okay, yes, of course, we'll put our child on this drug. But they would no more allow their child to go out to the street corner and buy illicit drugs from a vendor out on the street corner. But if a doctor says it's okay, then apparently it's okay. And if you look at from Eric Harris on, I mean, we're talking all these shooters were either on a drug or were coming off of a drug.
And that is something that was not ever included, because I can remember in various shooting incidences, people wanted to know, were they under psychiatric care? Did they have mental problems? And you may or may not get a half-baked answer to that, but when it comes down to, were these kids on any prescribed drugs? You will always get the same thing. Well, medical records are strictly a private matter between patient and the doctor. Now, if the contention is that these drugs themselves are mind-altering, mood-altering, psychotropic drugs that'll actually change the way you view things, your opinions, your emotions, well, now we're getting into an area that is high profit dollar for these drug companies. And I've seen even their own studies, and forgive me, I can't remember which drug company it was, whether it was Cyril or GlaxoKline, but some of these companies that are making these SSRIs in their own evaluations, in their own testing, they will admit maybe 5 to 6% of the patients receiving this drug will have psychotic episodes. They will have psychotic breaks. Now, whereas
they actually have is that they have suicidal and homicidal ideation. Specifically, homicidal and suicidal ideation. In other words, they're going to think about killing themselves. They're going to think about killing other people. And it's in their records that they have kept very well hidden.
Well, as I said, I've seen, and truth, truth in lending laws, I forget the exact law that it is, but the government made the drug companies put the disclaimers in the body of their televised ads. And it's always fascinating to me, Deanna, the psychology of these ads to begin with and how it's presented. You will generally get a person in distress and their life is gloomy, and then they take this certain tablet under the doctor's care, and your flowers will start blooming again, the skies will turn blue, and you won't be standing in the rain. But in the latter part of all of these commercials, these publicly aired commercials, you will start to hear the disclaimers. And I could never understand, Deanna, when you have a company that's required to put the disclaimer up there as to the side effects of any one of these drugs. We're talking exactly what you said, thoughts of suicide. Evil, they don't say evil thoughts, but uncontrolled emotion. And when I look at these, I go, okay, and the parents are going to do what? Go to the doctors and say, I want this for my kid? Even after hearing the disclaimers. Let's take the break. We'll be right back with Deanna Spinola. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And what we're going to do today is, as the phone calls come in, we will take those calls. Because there's going to be a lot of information and people might have comment or question about something we're talking about. So I want to kind of keep it current. So that being the case, let me go to first Joel in Wisconsin. You're on with Deanna Spinola. How you doing, Joel?
I'm doing good, and I hope Diana's cold gets better, and I hope Christmas gets over for you, John.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It couldn't come fast enough.
John, I can hardly hear you.
I'm sorry. Can you make the adjustment there, Mr. Mike?
Okay, I can hear you.
Okay, there we go. Well, thank you for that, Joel. Your question, your comment, please.
Okay, I have two questions for Diana. I noticed that there was a news helicopter.
By the way, let me do something for the for Deanna here. When she first came on the network, I was calling her Spignola.
Yeah.
And then I got over that, because I'd heard the name and actually read her name quite a few times. I went, oh, Spinola. Her first name is Deanna, not Diana.
Okay.
Okay, Joel, I just did that because I think I feel a little bit guilty about mispronouncing her name. But go ahead.
Okay, to Deanna. there was a news reporter helicopter that showed up at the scene of Sandy Hook within 11 minutes after the call came in.
It didn't show up until about 2 hours after.
Well,
it didn't show up 11 minutes.
Well, then something's been changed then, because the first information was that it showed up. What would it take it 2 hours?
Well, they did not have a helicopter hovering over Sandy Hook 11 minutes after. That's just not true.
Well, That's new information then. Well, now one of us is wrong. I hate to say that, but for over a year or so, they said it was that it showed up 11 minutes after. And I don't know what would take 2 hours rather than 11 minutes.
Would you like to give me the source of that?
I was looking at the footage when the helicopter was showing it. All right, let's say it's 2 hours later. All right, we'll go with your story, not to argue. They already had the car, the alleged suspect's car, in with yellow tape around it. And I just wondered how much of a priority that would have been.
They didn't put yellow tape around his car. I mean, these are technical questions that have very little to do with whether 27 people died that day.
All right. Well, for over a year, the helicopter showed up at 11 minutes after, and there was already yellow tape around the car. So if that's false now, that's not my fault.
No, right? I'm not saying it is.
Okay, let's go to my other point then.
Okay.
Back to helicopters. How come no emergency helicopters were called then, if 27 people were killed?
Okay, this is a fallacy. Now, the closest helicopters were in Hartford, not in Danbury. Danbury does not have Flystar helicopters. They were in Hartford, which is about 38 miles away. It was, and you call helicopters, to rescue people who need immediate care, or you have ambulances. Ambulances were already on the scene. It's much easier to put a person in an ambulance than it is to put them in a helicopter and then to transport them 38 miles away, where you could put them in an ambulance and go to Danbury, which was much closer. You don't call, it's up to the person in charge of the operation, in charge of the entire thing, to decide whether to call helicopters or not. They decided not to. Now, most of the children, unfortunately, were dead. There were two children who were transported to Danbury Hospital who died there. So, you don't always call helicopters. That is a myth. You do not always call helicopters. It's up to the command post to decide whether it's more feasible to transport people by ambulance, which has more of the equipment that is needed. It's much quicker.
Well,
the advantage
of life flights, and they have a lot of them down here in Texas, and them being first responders, they will often practice at night navigation and whatever, much to the chagrin of the people here in Round Rock, Texas. Joel, hang on a second. We're talking with Deanna Spingola. The book, Screening Sandy Hook, Causes and Consequences. And we'll continue this conversation and add your calls as well at 800-313-9443. Do I like doing this interview? No, I do not, because it goes against the grain of what a lot of people believe.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
School, December 14th, 2012. We're talking with Deanna Spingola, her new book, Screening Sandy Hook, Causes and Consequences. And Deanna, I want to finish with these calls and then get back into your book and the main reason that you wrote this. And like I said, you've taken a lot of flack over this because there's the narrative out there that something was wrong, we're going to take the pieces and we're going to jam them in there. And look, this was a false flag. So at any rate, Joel in Wisconsin, I remember seeing helicopter footage, but it wasn't until quite some time had passed. As a matter of fact, Deanna, it was the individual that was dressed in black that was running from the school into the woods, and the cops finally caught up with him. Arrested him and put him in the back of a police car. That helicopter was on scene, but it certainly wasn't 11 minutes after that incident took place.
Yeah.
Joel in Wisconsin, you know, here's the problem that we're having. We're trying to nail this thing down, not so much to dispel the rumors and the innuendos, but to really find out exactly what, where, who, when, and why happened at Sandy Hook. And I'll be honest with you, Joel, I like you, when I first saw this, I thought, the BS meter went off. And I thought, there's probably something wrong with this. We're conditioned to think that everything that takes place in this country has special forces backing or some intel agency or a conditioning program for the public. And I don't believe that is necessarily the case, but there is a lot of false flags that have happened out there. Now, if you would, Joel, any other questions or concerns that you have?
I do have another question, but to answer kind of what you said, we have to all, our only information we get is coming from the people who you can't trust in the first place. So
that's the problem.
Yeah, so if that's analyzed or misanalyzed, and then they change the story later, you know, that leads a reason for suspicion. Okay, another question to Deanna.
Deanna.
With 26 people shot there and 24 of them killed, dead there, there would have been ample blood on the scene that in an emergency they would not be careful, you know, of avoiding. So there would be, they would have to traipse it outside and have tracks of blood outside.
And there was, there was blood. There were blood on the cops' uniforms. There was blood in the parking lot. There was blood leading out from the school. And, of course, there was a lot of blood in the school.
Well, did you so you had access to seeing that when the public didn't?
No. The official report, if you look at the, there are dozens and dozens, hundreds of photos that anybody may access.
Here again, Deanna, the official report of JFK and the official report of 911, those are the official reports. No.
Well, no, those were the commission findings. Those were not the official reports. Okay, there was Sandy Hook Advisory Commission. There was also the official reports produced by the investigators. And they took photos. They did a lot of investigating. And those were all done by a bunch of individuals. And for someone to say, oh, the whole thing was a hoax, somebody actually said, the whole thing was a hoax, and the Connecticut State Police set it all up. That's just illogical.
Well, according to the media, again, the Connecticut State Police did get $2.5 million afterwards for their stress and stuff like that for the scene.
Okay, and you know where that money went to?
No, I don't.
It probably went to the psychiatric industry.
All right, okay. One more quick thing.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead, Joel.
Okay, that night they found a long gun in the trunk of the alleged victim's or suspect's car, and they said that's the gun that did it later.
Now, I wonder how the gun could have gotten into the Now, trunk. Keep in mind that after every event, there's all kinds of misreporting. You can say the same thing about Columbine. There was all kinds of misreporting. The gun that they found in the trunk was not the gun that he used on the children and the adult victims. That was found in the school. That was a misreporting.
All right. One real, real quick one. What percent of the information that you have in your book came from the officials?
5%. I did not concentrate on some of the things. I didn't concentrate on debunking some of the claims. I did a little bit of that, but my book, its focus is entirely different.
Okay.
I focus on what's happening to America's youth, that they're going out and killing people, and that they're on ADHD drugs, and that they're banging their head against the wall, and that they're doing all these kinds of things. I covered what the FDA did, who they protect. They protect the corporations. 880,000 people a year die from medical intervention in this country. That is more people than die in warfare. But does anybody ever say, hey, how come they're not arresting these doctors? How come we don't see yellow tape around the hospitals?
I agree with you there.
And in my program on Friday, I talked about the number of people who were dead just from, let's see, it's a Thayer's report. It's a two-page report. If you visit Spingola.com, click on radio schedule, and then look at the schedule for Friday and Saturday, you will see the F-A-E-R-S, and that states that just in the first quarter of 2015, that 44,000 people have died from taking a medication.
Well, I agree with you there, but that doesn't justify what happened at Sandy Hook. I'll let some other callers.
It might justify what happened at Sandy Hook.
Yeah,
it might be the very reason. Causes and Consequences is in the title. I screened Sandy Hook. Causes and Consequences. What happened? What's happening to the people in this country?
Yeah. Joel, I appreciate your call, and they were good questions, and I don't doubt your suspicion behind this, because other than the moles and trolls or some governmental paid agency, or what they like to refer to as a non-governmental organization that they'll pay to go out and assess something and then turn out their own reports, there are very, very, very few people in alternative media that is doing this. And I gotta be honest with you, Joel, when Deanna started talking about this, I went, oh my God. You know, did she have mass brain trauma? Did she get in a car accident? Did something affect this woman's judgment? That was my first thought, and I'm being honest here. And then I was going to interview, Mr. Halbig, and I was talking to Deanna about this. and I came to some very different conclusions. And I want to get into Wolfgang Halbig here in a few minutes, but let me take these calls. And I thank you for yours, Joel. Thank you.
Okay, good day.
All right.
John, could I just make one comment?
Sure.
We were talking about the television advertisements. At least 75% of the people get most of their information visually and not auditorially. And so people who are watching these commercials, they only see the pictures. They absolutely tune out all those side effects. Tune them out. And that is also a public announcement that the pharmaceutical industry is covering their butt. And when people go and say, well, I want to sue you because of this drug or that drug, and they can say, oh, you didn't hear about all the side effects? You didn't listen to the public announcement? Okay, that's all I have to say about that.
That's kind of like legal notices that are posted. It's still by law. Even though people, less and less people are reading newspapers, it's still by law that you have to make a public pronouncement, and they're still doing it in newspapers. And that's a legal requirement. You know, with the drug companies, if you take a look at the power and the wealth of these drug companies, most of these online or satellite news services that people receive, they wouldn't be in business if they didn't have the drug money.
Absolutely.
You know, this is a very large budget for the media, and they're not going to be critical. And here's the problem. News agencies, newspapers, it used to be that they would do hard reporting, and they would have a newsroom. Many networks would do news, and it was always a losing proposition for them. But they were obligated to do it because they were in the business of collecting the data and the news and then disseminating it. Well, now we have a problem, because the problem is that the people are, by and large, very suspicious of the mainstream medias, whether they proclaim to be left or right. People have less and less money to pay their cable bill or their satellite bill. There's varying degrees, and the numbers are dropping rapidly on mainstream media. So I don't expect, if we were living in a righteous world where ethics and morality were the kingpins, and you didn't vary from that, you didn't deviate from that, you would see the mainstream media doing reports on drug companies, adverse effects, deaths, so on and so forth, which they should be doing. I would prefer that they'd be selling Chevrolets or Jaguars or Volkswagens rather than promoting drugs, because we know what the drug industry is into, and it's by and large just to alleviate symptoms and not to cure anything. So having said all that, Deanna, let me go to Ed in Florida. Hello, Ed.
This is a pleasure. I mean, I've read your book, The Ruling Elite. Excellent book. I wish John would do an interview about your, you know, the three volumes to that series. Getting back to Sandy Hook, I'm going to borrow a line from JFK. It's a riddle wrapped in an enigma. We'll never know the real truth about whether or not people actually died there or not. But I think who benefits from this? Every time there's a mass shooting, they go for the guns. Columbine. We go to Waco. We go to
Aurora.
Yes. Yeah. And it's always gun control. But, you know, people aren't stupid today. I mean, 25 years ago, I never would have believed my government would fire upon its own citizens. Today, I do. To think, that they wouldn't do this in order to ban all types of weapons in America, it would be foolish to think not.
Well, it's so much of a problem right now, Ed, that we have watched Obama go extra constitutionally here with executive orders. And it's kind of fascinating to watch that those that would abide by executive orders complain about them. But when you give an executive order and it's outside the constraints of the Constitution itself, then you have a problem. Obama is expected in his last year, and some refer to it as being lame duck, if Obama doesn't get what he wants from the Congress on the issues of guns, He's looking for this, and it's often been said that Obamacare is going to be his legacy. Well, it's blowing up in his face, and chances are we'll get a Republican president in there that's either going to modify that or dump the program. But it still comes back to the same thing here, that he is expected, and even his chief of staff at the White House alluded to, well, Obama's going to be doing some things on gun control and doing it by executive order. And he's also encouraging the various states to take local action because the pushback that they're getting with the Fed running everything over the states, over federal laws regarding guns and ammunition and so on and so forth.
John, he can pass as many executive orders as he likes. It's just, you know, who's going to enforce them now?
Well, and they're counting on the states to do a lot. They've interwoven a lot with the federal government has with the states on the issues of terrorism. I mean, we've all seen this stuff being built, but
let's
we're kind of
150 million gun owners in this country. Let's just say, and even if 2%, let's just say, 5 million people, 6 million people decide not to hand in their weapons, John, that's going to cause a lot of carnage in this country.
Well, that's when you get to bring in the peacekeepers. What we've been doing to the Middle East, they will do to the United States as well.
Sure.
I'd like to ask Deanna a question if I could.
Yes.
In her book, The Ruling Elite, I know she mentions the Schofield Bible a few times. And mm-hmm. I'm just wondering how much of an impact has that on today's Christian Zionist movement?
Oh, gosh. That would be a whole two-hour program.
I know. I'd love to hear it, though.
Well, I hate
to deviate. At another time, of course, not right now, but
right.
I've always been curious about that. And
yeah, Ed, do you? Let me ask you this: do you listen to Deanna's program?
I can when I get the chance to, John. I mean, I
okay,
like
that's why we have archives, and
gotcha,
we've been pretty good about getting the shows posted. Some of them will kick out because the time is not right or something on it, but we do a pretty good job of putting all the programs up. So when you have time. And people need to use those archives to go in and hear past programs. You don't ever have to miss Deanna. She's always there.
Yeah, I'm always here.
Thank you very much, John. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope it goes as fast for you as I'm hoping that it goes as fast for me.
Thank you, Ed. I appreciate
bye-bye.
It. Yeah, this is not necessarily, Deanna, we're coming up on break here. This is not necessarily a very happy time for a lot of people.
Oh,
but,
I know.
But, I really do it in jest. I say bah humbug and I wish Christmas would hurry up and pass. But there are those out there. There are those out there that enjoy this time of year. It is a time for relatives and friends to gather, and to have, your social meetings and your bonding and all that stuff. So I don't want to appear to be, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge because I'm certainly not. But my reason for Christmas has been kind of taken away, so
exactly.
I'm in my bah humbug mood.
It's okay. I kind of feel the same way. You know that it's 9,000 times more likely that a person will be killed by a doctor than by a gun owner?
Well, you know what always fascinated me, for all those that wanted to see the guns and they consider that to be a problem and not the person itself. With the amount of homicides that are actually done with guns versus, and they never do this, we always talk about in the alternative media, how many times have those guns actually saved people's lives?
Exactly.
They never want to talk about that. And to be honest with you, a criminal knowing that there might be people around standing with weapons that they can't necessarily see, doesn't make them feel very comfortable. And it may actually, dare I say it, just the fact that people may be armed may prevent crimes without even the guns used. Let's take this
exactly.
Break, 800-313-9443. We'll be back talking with Deanna Spingola. Let's go to North Carolina. Frank in North Carolina. Hello, Frank.
Hi. I've got a lot of territory to cover. I'll be trying to be brief, but I imagine that a lot of these shootings that happen that don't you know, go to the national news are probably gang-related. It's mostly African-American on African-American or Hispanic on Hispanic, something like that. And that's probably why a lot of it doesn't. It's gang-related, and it's involving, you know, older teenagers or whatnot, and not so much teachers, that kind of thing. It probably doesn't make the news. And, you know, I think, I don't know, the take I get on it, I think most of us assume that most of these shootings that make, you know, the mainstream media, national media, involve shooters that are on psychotropic drugs. I think we all pretty much, you know, can agree on that. But I don't necessarily see that that precludes the possibility that these people are not being or could not be used as patsies or even MK Ultra type agents, you know, dimwits, dupes, agents, patsies, whatever.
And then you've got. I got you.
Yeah, I mean, if you were going to have a patsy, you know, isn't that exactly what you would want? Someone that was very suggestible, very open to, you know, mind control. And all these guys that I've seen, the shooter in Charleston at that church, Charleston, South Carolina, and then the Aurora, Colorado, that guy was in some type of, some type of a program involving mind control. The guy, Adam Lanza, I mean, they all have that kind of that blank stare. But just because they were under the psychiatric care and on these psychotropic drugs, they could just be, you know, having the effects of those possible or likely side effects that we hear about, but that doesn't preclude the possibility that they're being used somehow. And, you know, I had a question, Eric Holder, the Attorney General, has anybody ever been, and see, I don't take anything at face value. I do hear some half-baked conspiracy theories coming out. And, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily condemn the people putting them out. Maybe sometimes they need to be condemned, you know. But, you know, I mean, they can do their research and everything, but, you know, some of it kind of, it takes away the credibility, maybe makes us all look bad, that kind of thing. But,
Frank, excuse me here, you just hit on a very important point, because everybody is searching for that credibility. If the government plants a story out there knowing that it's false, and it has done that many, 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 many times, you know, are they exactly happy when people are not buying the story? Absolutely not. But also in the alternative media itself, we don't like losing whatever ground that we gain. We don't like having stuff come back on us. And again, we're in a position, and nobody really talks about this that much in the alternative media, but we're severely restricted with the information and access that we have.
Right.
And it's sometimes very troubling that I've seen, like, say, for lack of evidence. You know, there are still some people today that believe that a jet flew into the Pentagon, when you can just take a look at the scene and say that that isn't so. But how do you prove it? Because the one place, the Pentagon, with the more surveillance cameras than probably any place on the planet, this is the best they come up with, is a little streak and a fireball, and you can't tell anything. Hey, hang on a second. Please don't go away, Frank. Top of the hour break. We're talking with Deanna Spingola. Her book, Screening Sandy Hook, Causes and Consequences, will continue into the next hour.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down.
We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We're back. Hour two of the National Intel Report on this 22nd day of December, 2015. Talking with Deanna Spingola and her book, Screening Sandy Hook, Causes and Consequences. And the real value of this book, ladies and gentlemen, is all the study and all the research has been done into the SSRIs, shootings, so on and so forth. The absolute medical disadvantage that it puts people under, and apparently, for just the profit. amazing unto itself. At any rate, we're talking with Frank in North Carolina. If you would, continue, Frank.
Yes, Eric Holder is very much against the Second Amendment, and he, I believe, was caught, it has been publicized widely over the Internet, stating that this needs to be an everyday mindset amongst teachers and the media. We need to brainwash the American people that guns are bad, starting early in school.
I have seen that exact video that you're speaking
of. Okay, has it been substantiated? And then I have one other point. Has it been substantiated that Eric Holder flew to Sandy Hook and was giving out money, dispersing out money?
Deanna?
The government did disperse money. Absolutely, they did. I don't know that it was geared toward a particular object like getting rid of guns, but we all know that the government and the media are both anti-gun and always have been.
But you have no knowledge of Eric Holder personally showing up to disperse money?
No.
Okay. All right.
Okay, well, that's a rumor that's gone around. I don't know if it was ever substantiated or not, but like I said, I tend to believe it, but I'm a very objective person. I want it to be substantiated if that's true. Also, I've been thinking, you know, Deanna made a point on one of her shows recently, I think a week ago, you know, this seems to be backfiring on them. You know, they keep trying, you know, if the conspiracy theorists are right and all these are staged, false flag or otherwise, some type of, you know, part of some project, some large conspiracy to turn public sentiment against guns, it seems to be backfiring on them because, you know, people are buying more guns than ever. But, you know, I've been given that some thought, and that's a legitimate point, and it really does kind of stop and make someone think. However, I personally believe that one of their ultimate goals in all of this is population reduction.
And oh, sure.
I think they want actually a certain segments of the population to buy up guns. They want a mass war between the feds, law enforcement, and the quote unquote patriots. I think they want that.
Sure. They want chaos. So they can bring in the military.
Yeah. So well, the military is already
it's
here.
Already there. Yeah.
They have not been engaged in official capacity.
Right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, they can turn a substantial portion of the public that's already tends to be anti-gun against them, so they will at least have the support of those people, and those people can act as spies and turn in their neighbors, their relatives, and everything else.
Well, and sure. Frank, what you're describing here is a division. And any time, you know, a political opponent, for, say, Republican versus Democrat, I mean, what do you see them do? You know, they make accusations, they make claims that may not ever be, proven. It might be suspected, but you will never see a follow-up done on that. And it's the catfight that ensues that divides people and their opinions. Now, and I've always found this fascinating. because there is enough on the plate versus our republic, and it's founded by its founding documents, where we're at today. Is it legal? Well, yeah, they've made it legal. They have made changes, not necessarily to the Constitution itself, but through policy, through legislation or statute or whatever, and they've made themselves legal. Is it lawful and is it constitutional? Absolutely not. But that's nevertheless, that's what they're going to claim. And like I said before, you know, this has been a tough show to do because the truth should not be that hard to present and to verify. But we're working on the short end of the stick, and we don't have a whole lot of stick to use. So we have to rely on other reports, other people's investigations, contact with them, sharing information. I've seen this go to a point where it develops into two camps, and they're more interested. They lose sight of what they're trying to accomplish. And that one group, because they're questioning, then becomes the enemy, and they must be a part of the conspiracy. And to be honest with you, there's a lot out there that, yeah, it's one great big conspiracy. And we're reporting on it, so we become the theorists because it's not mainstream adopted.
Right.
Yeah, and I know how easily these people in the government and in these different agencies and even at the county level and the police officers can be bought off. You know, everybody's looking out for themselves. This country has been so divided. I mean, it just has been. I don't think you're ever going to change that now. Everybody's so divided, they're going to be looking out after their own personal interests. And, you know, if they're part of the establishment, they want to stay there for that job security, especially in these unsure times.
Now, you brought up the subject of Adam Lanza and the fact that he could have been used as a pawn. There's a website called sandyhooklighthouse.wordpress.com. Now, if you visit that site, sandyhooklighthouse.wordpress.com, and you click on the Adam Lanza timeline, it will give you all of the websites that he participated in. Actually, it starts with his birth and talks about his school years, talks about his problems, and Reed Coleman talks about his activity on the internet. He was very, very involved with the Columbine High School website, Shock Beyond Belief, and he participated in that a lot. Even if you look at his 25 favorite movies, this guy, this person was not your normal 20-year-old kid. And if you look at this timeline, and Reed uses information from the internet, from the official reports, which coincide with what is found in the internet, and just give a look at that timeline. It is macabre, to say the least.
Frank, I appreciate your...
I'd be real interested to know the timeline of the background of the psychiatrist, you know, where these guys
Paul
are
Fox?
Under the care, too.
Paul Fox? Well, he left the country.
Okay.
He left the country. In 2012, he left the country.
You know, you could also go on the internet and find these guys, though, that would make the perfect patsies, you know, these guys that are psychologically unhinged, and be like, hey, this is our guy right here. We'll set him up. Okay, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right, sorry about that. That was a call from Mary Toko, believe it or not.
Oh!
Mary Toko and her daughter got arrested because the daughter is not allowing her children to be injected with the vaccines.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yeah, they just bonded out yesterday, and she just now called me a few minutes ago. I put the call in earlier today, but that's the subject matter for another program. I have seen pictures of Adam Lanza, and these things are not flattering. One picture that I saw of this kid, and I have never in my entire life, and I've seen people in various situations where the adrenaline is the only thing pumping, in the body, far outstripping the blood flow or anything else. One of these pictures that I have seen, his eyes look like two plates, not saucers,
exactly,
but two plates. And most people, try this in the mirror, folks. Just try this. Go try to open up your eyes as wide as they can go. And what usually happens is your eyebrows will go up and your forehead crinkles up because of the excess skin up there. But the pictures I saw of this kid, they looked like the rest of his face was relaxed, but his eyes were literally as big as saucers. And right. I looked at these photos, Deanna, and I went, my God, what is this kid on? What do we know? Adam Lanza was on SSRIs. Do we know specifically what he was taking?
Now, a person, excuse me, a person that babysat, a neighbor that used to babysit for him, said, I know this kid was on something. I don't know what it was. And there were people, neighbors, or not neighbors, but people who claimed that, yes, he was on something. His behavior indicated that he was on something. He would be very, very, very talkative and be very, very, outgoing, and then all of a sudden he would crash. The other thing, too, is that, Patrick Kwanzi, one of the several assistant attorney generals in Connecticut, stated in a press conference that he was not going to allow the medical records of Adam Lanza to be revealed because it would cause people to discontinue their medication. Oh. And so, I mean, that's very interesting. And when you're looking at coroner's reports, if, say, for instance, with Robin Williams, they said that that his dose was, he was on a drug for 8 days when he committed suicide. And the coroner said, well, he was on a therapeutic dose. In other words, if you're on a therapeutic dose, well, you're covered by the standard of care because the therapeutic dose is supposed to be very safe. And so they can decide, the coroner, Carver, in the state medical examiner, could have decided that he was on a therapeutic dose, therefore it isn't necessary for me to reveal the records, which he never has. Miss O'Toole, who used to be a profiler for the FBI, said that a lot of the shooters will go off of their drugs because they want to be very, very clear-headed and be as efficient as they possibly can. And so she suggests that he had gone off of his drugs and so that he could be very effective as a shooter. The other thing that is very telling about his behavior is that he had all of the windows taped up in his room. He had black plastic over the windows. Now, when you are on an SSRI, you become very sensitive to light. And he was he talked about this frequently. He hated the sunlight. And Del Shannon also experienced the same thing. He was talking in his last concert. He was talking about the light being so, so terribly severe. And he was on an SSRI. He was on Prozac. And so, I believe, given Adam Lanza's behavior, given the fact that he spent a lot of time in his room that was darkened, given the fact that he talked about hating the sunlight, I believe that he was probably on an SSRI.
From all the information, Deanna, that I've seen, that's indicated in several times. And if this kid had societal or adjustment problems with other human beings, I mean, that's the big thing now is psychological or psychiatric intervention. And, of course, you know, we have a cure for everything now, or at least we can alleviate symptoms. We can help the person, so therefore we're going to. And what I find rather odd about all of this is why the doctors are prescribing this stuff. I mean, don't they read the pamphlets by law that these drug manufacturers have to put in these packages? And
they're,
they're
obligated to follow the standard of care. And the standard of care for psychiatric disorders was embraced within the medical industry with the publication of the DSM, which is Diagnostical, let's see, what does it stand for? The DSM is the manual that lists all the psychiatric issues, and they make them up. It's the DSM. It's a Diagnostic and Statistical Manual
of Mental Disorders.
And what they do is that they create, they create diseases. They create these diseases, and then they have a product specifically for that disease. And these are made up diseases. These are, well, you could have, that you hate to do homework. So you have a homework phobia. Oh, they got just the pill for that. Or you can say that an overactive kid, a boy, and what boy isn't overactive? You can say, oh, this kid has ADHD. We've got just the thing for him. Let's put him on Ritalin.
Yeah, and I can see where a lot of these diagnoses come from, where you and I would accept them, and in particular about a restless school child. I absolutely hated school. The teachers were boring. The subject matter was not presented.
Absolutely.
Was not presented in a way. And I would fidget. I'd stare out the windows. Being diagnosed today that I would probably be disconnected. I'm not mentally alert. There's some function that's not going on with the brain here. Let's try this.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas, I don't know, I maybe have been one of those shooters out there if those drugs were available in my day. But I seem to make it through okay. I hated school, still do, because it's never presented in an interactive way and something you get excited about that you want to cram as much about the subject matter as you possibly can into your brain. Most children spend the time trying to run away from it. So
exactly.
we've got to correct that problem. All right. Let's go back to the phones here. Fred in Iowa. Hello, Fred.
And then, Deanna, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Deanna, it takes, considerable courage for you to be interviewed. I want to make some statements and then I want to ask a question. Okay. The FBI, 94% of these terrorist attacks, the FBI is involved. I'm making that statement. Okay, the topic is switched here to SSRIs, which is very important. Psychotropic drugs. Okay, the pharmaceuticals are killing us off by government edict to take vaccine and flu shots.
Right.
The government edict. That they're going to make a law and are making the laws that we will take these shots. We will kill our children.
Right.
Okay. Whether Adam Lanza was under SSRIs, which he was, and all these school shootings, practically 99% of these children, unfortunately, by government, are destroyed with SSRIs and psychotropic drugs. Now, take the situation of Sandy Hook. It switched to SSRIs and drugs, which is to the truth and very important. But we didn't stay on topic or subject. Now,
okay, hold on 1 second. I've got to take this break. Kent, hold on. 800-313-9443. We are back. Fred, we went a little long with your call, ran up against a break. Go ahead.
Okay. A lot of us, not all, are trying to the truth, wherever it may lead, and how disturbing or painful it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my case, and I think others, but in my case, I want to know when I am wrong. I want to be called on it. All right, three times I have called into RBN over the month, three times and admitted I was in error. I was wrong. I want to know. Okay. Deanna, do we agree that these kids, by government edict, are being shot up with psychotropic drugs and SSRIs? Do we agree on that point?
Yeah, what are the enabling factors, Deanna?
Oh, well, you also have to start with birth.
If you would, please, give me a short answer and to the point.
Okay.
You agree?
You must include vaccines in those drugs. Vaccines are the gateway to those psychotropic drugs.
Now, if our government is doing this, why not would they not do it at Sandy Hook? Now, I want to find out the truth. If you're correct, I sure as hell want to know. Or if you're in error, I want to know. But it only follows that what the government has done in the past and these false flag incidents, we have to have the guts, the courage, the honesty, and then the integrity to face the truth, and if we're wrong, admit our error and ask for forgiveness.
Fred,
if we are right in principle.
The idea that it's false flag is erroneous to begin with. A false flag usually has something to do with some national incident. I think if people want to call it a hoax, it would be more of a hoax. Okay.
Well, I don't agree with...
When you're talking about a school drill, when you're talking about FEMA, FEMA does not conduct active shooter drills. They give policies and procedures so that each school district within the United States may develop their own drill activity, their own operation. These drills are usually conducted on a closed campus. Each person under the age of 18 must have parental permission to participate in a drill. They would not conduct a drill in an elementary school. There are children, teenagers, who are traumatized if they are participating in a drill in high school. It's traumatizing. How much more traumatizing would it be
to
do this in an elementary school? Also, when they conduct a drill, they warn the public. They say, okay, they put up a sign, police training in progress, do not enter. They alert. Everybody knows what's going on, okay? FEMA does not conduct drills. Elementary school parents would never, ever give permission for their little kindergartner children, for their little first graders.
Yeah.
So you are saying that FEMA, a government organization, is doing a hoax. They're controlled. They are a government organization. And to divert the subject to something else is misleading and, I don't want to be Delphied.
Well, I'm not Delphying you, Fred.
Not very much. But anyhow,
Fred,
I got enough.
Hold on a second, Fred. Please, let her respond.
I wrote a book. It's called Screening Sandy Hook. In other words, I screened Sandy Hook. I looked at Sandy Hook, and I discovered what I believe are causes and consequences. FEMA, if the U.S. government can force children and their parents to take vaccines, to take all these drugs, to be on all these prescription medications, and 880,000 people a year are dying through medical intervention, they don't need to go in and conduct a drill at a elementary school and kill a bunch of people. But the children, the people who have been exposed to vaccines and these drugs, yeah, they're going to go nuts. They're going to do really, really bad, bad things.
Okay,
I'm not Delphying you. I'm covering it from a different aspect.
We're coming up on the break. Fred, is there anything else?
Yes, there is.
Okay. Hold on. I've got to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to ask you to be brief, and please take the response if one's given.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter don't...
Alrighty, we are back. My goodness, when was the last time you heard that song, Deanna?
Indeed. Long time. Yeah.
All right. Fred in Iowa, if you would, sir, please finish up.
Okay, I'll be brief. Notification of drills. I didn't read it in the New York Times or the Washington Post that we are having a drill at a Sandy Hook. I don't buy that. People, pay attention. Listen up. Thank you for your time. I'm done. Bye.
Okay. Alright, I'm not quite sure what point was punctuated there.
I'm not sure. You know, some people are very sincere, but he talked about the Delphi technique, and I think he doesn't understand it. And some people are very sincere, but provocateurs, often use the Delphi techniques to build a consensus, a predetermined outcome.
And I want to save some time here. Deanna, I want to save some time here because there's a subject and an individual I want to bring up, one Wolfgang Halbig. So let's take these calls first, and then we'll get into that. All right. Let me go to Kent in West Virginia. Hello, Kent.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, it just seems to me that whether they concocted this intentionally or not, they certainly... certainly something has evolved into something, a topic that seems to waste a considerable amount of time. I mean, nobody knows what happened. It's, you know, we all know that they can go in and kill people and overlay a completely fictitious story. And, so that could have been what happened. But, you know, I don't know what happened and, I can't speculate, but we do know they can kill people and put out a freak. But that freak show picture of that kid just looks like phony as can be. I agree with you, John. And then I've listened to the idiotic the 911 tapes, and they seem phony. And but then again, I've seen these this Halbig character and this Fetzer character put out this book. I looked through his book, and it's just pictures of tables with, schoolroom tables, and then there's a picture of a distant picture of a hole down at the baseboard of a wall, and a little bit of dust, and it's a circle around it, and that's a bullet. And then I watched one of these videos. I mean, it was 2 hours long. I mean, who's got the money to produce a 2 hour long video? And they had helicopter footage. Now, who has helicopter footage? I mean, was that the police footage? And how did they get the police helicopter footage? I mean, you know, and, you know, they could be constructing this and intentionally to have everybody, you know, we might as well be talking about which came first, the chicken or the egg. It seems to me, you know, I don't know. And then I looked at something on the internet just the other day, and somebody's got a picture of one of these little girls that, you know, is the alleged victim. And then there's another little girl, and they say that they've got a former FBI or, you know, a facial recognition expert with, you know, all his credentials. And I looked at him, and, okay, both little girls had curly hair and had similar ages and everything and, you know, eyebrow features. But the teeth were different, you know. So, I mean, there's just so much garbage. Right. But, I mean, it's just idiotic. You know, I'm really, you know, I hate to just, I wish we could move on and get on to another subject, you know. You know, that's my opinion.
Well, Ken, I appreciate you calling. Thank you. And what's occurred to me, Deanna, is that the mainstream media, where we know that they have been allowed to deceive the public.
Oh, yes.
And we're so desperate to maintain credibility. But here's the position I find myself in, and hoping that this takes place rapidly and soon. We need people that are in the inside, that know what's going on, that see the discrepancies, that see the problems. And we need these people coming forth. Well, where are they going to come forth? It's going to be to the alternative media, because the mainstream, obviously, are not real friendly to whistleblowers. So we want to maintain a credibility factor, but yet we are covering things that we want the answers to, and if the answers aren't forthcoming, we make it a speculation and an unbelievable set of circumstance, and then we go on. I want an environment that people aren't going to be coming out where the talk show host half the time is talking about little green aliens and crop circles, and the other half of the time, they're covering the current events and what may be wrong with something. You know, Deanna, my God. I mean, it is what it is. The truth is the truth. It's suppressed, it's shelved, it's hid. Eventually it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not that concerned. I mean, do we know everything about the JFK assassination? And look how many hundreds of thousands of hours that were put into that one.
Exactly.
You know, so here we are. I'll tell you what, let me move on here to Francis in North Carolina, and then I want to get into the subject here of Wolfgang Halbig. Go ahead, Francis, you're on the air.
Hey, folks.
Hi.
Personally, myself, I just call them beings from the stars, but hey, that's neither here nor there. I have a question for Deanna. Obviously, a lot of people, not everyone, is familiar with the video of the one dad who had lost his daughter, or whatever the case might be, that particular situation with Sandy Hook, where at one point he's laughing and commentating or joking with somebody off the side, and then within about a minute that he walks up to a microphone and starts talking, he's all choked up, he is in tears, and so forth and so on.
Oh, Francis?
Like her, now, if this has already been covered earlier, then
no,
I apologize because
it.
I missed that.
No, but Francis, like, as a matter of fact, I have spoken to Deanna about that one individual in particular. So if you have a question there, please go ahead and answer it, because I wanted to cover that with her.
Well, that was my question.
Okay.
Okay. What you saw was a CNN coverage of a press conference, and CNN is if you look at my book, CNN is mentioned several times. Now, CNN had a press conference. It was the next day. It was a 19-minute press conference, and the 19 seconds that went viral within hours after that press conference. And you have to ask yourself, how did this CNN video, this 27 seconds out of a 19-minute video, go viral within a few short hours? Now, he was at his church. He happens to be Mormon. He was at his church with fellow worshippers. He came out of the church, and then people accused him of hyperventilating to get into character. And you can make as many claims as you want, but what he was going to talk about was probably the very, very worst thing that a father can talk about publicly, and that is the death of a child. During that whole video, and you have to watch the entire video, taking something out of context and then making some speculative claims is not research. It is propaganda. He is not an actor. He cried during that press conference. He smiled when he thought of Emily, his daughter. Now, nobody at all said that Russell Yates, during a press conference on his front lawn the very afternoon that his wife, Andrea Yates, drowned five of their children, he cracked a smile. He wasn't straight-faced. He wasn't up there bawling. Nobody accused him of being an actor. Okay? But somehow, this CNN video, 27 seconds, went viral. CNN. That's a key word right there.
All right. Francis?
Even though I've just heard that explanation from Deanna, that still does, that there's a lot, there's some gaps that I'm just not getting. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. But I appreciate your sentiment about it, though.
Have you watched the entire video? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Francis. I guess we're not going to get the answer to the question. Did you see the whole interview? And I know what you speak because I've seen that exact same video, and I thought the same thing that Francis just expressed. You know,
sure, when I saw it, I thought, oh, that's kind of strange.
Yeah.
But when people present a visual and they tell you what to think about the visual, keep in mind, let's compare this to the commercials on TV about the drugs. And they tell you what to think. They tell you what to think, that you're going to be happy if you take this drug. Well, the person that presented this 27 seconds told you what to think about the video. There were text boxes that say, oh, he's laughing, or could this be a real father, or this is an actor. When they presented that 27 seconds, they told you what to think about what you were seeing. Okay? And that's called Delphi-ing people. In other words, they tell you what to think. They set up a psychological environment. They tell you what to think about something. And how dare you have an alternative view in the alternative media? Because we are supposed to have groupthink. It's a Marxist way of doing things. We all must think alike.
Well,
and that's help you if you think differently.
And that's exactly what's being practiced across this country. Kids are being taught in schools right now that you have an actor within inside you. And when you're with these groups, you know, that you're acting. You're acting your part within this group. Separate from your own personality, separate from yourself. This is how you're to conduct yourself and think and act when you're with these groups. And it's sad. You know, it's funny you should mention that, Deanna. I just saw a commercial the other day, and I forget the company, drug company that's putting out the drug. But there's Terry Bradshaw. The guy won, I don't know, 3 or 4, you know, Super Bowls. Everybody knows who Terry Bradshaw is. But there's Terry Bradshaw knocking on somebody's door to their house, invites himself in, asks the question, have you had smallpox? Well, do you know that, 1 out of 3 people that have had smallpox because you have that virus in your body?
Shingles.
That's going to turn into shingles. And then the visual proof is put there. This is what it looks like, and you can get this.
Right.
So you've got to go to your doctor, and you've got to ask for this anti-shingles medication.
Right.
How many people, Deanna, do you know that have actually had shingles? I only know of a couple in my entire life. But there's the logic, there's the demonstration, there's the need, and you're sold.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my God, you don't want to get that. You got to ask your doctor.
Right.
That's what advertising is. They have 30 or 60 seconds to convince you that you need to do this. And they're going to offer you the proof, and they're going to offer you the reason. And they're going to offer you that built into that is that emotional response. Predictably, that's what people are going to do. They're going to go to their doctor and go, well, gosh, doctor, I've had smallpox, and do I really still have that virus? And do I need to take this?
Actually,
you're right. Chickenpox, not smallpox. My error. And yes, we do correct ourselves. Okay. Now, let's get into Wolfgang Halbig. Who is this guy? He seems to be the only one out there, drumming up the lawyers and making requests, freedom of information, and whatever else.
Right.
Who is this guy?
He claims to be. Well, he's made a lot of claims. He claims to be a homicide investigator. The first time that I ran into him was when he called into my program. He had emailed me the morning of a program that I did with American Free Press, on February the 11th of 2014. And he called into my program, which I thought was very strange. I received the email that morning, and he included a bunch of the emails that he had sent to officials at Sandy Hook, and I thought, holy cow, this guy really has an inflated view of himself, that he was demanding all of these answers from these officials, and when all the answers were actually in the reports, in the official reports. But anyway, he calls in my program, and he literally asked me to stop asking questions. He says I'm wasting airtime and that I shouldn't be asking these questions. And he also claims that that local officials had come to his home and had threatened him that he needed to stop asking questions about Sandy Hook. Now, we don't know why why the police came to his house. We do know that his son Eric Halbig was arrested on the very, very same day, December 14th, 2012, for domestic battery. And thereafter moved in with Halbig and his wife. So, Halbig was initially promoted by James Fetcher, the same person, one of the very same people who actually devised those claims, those speculative claims, like nobody died at Sandy Hook, it was a drill, the school was closed, Adam Lanza couldn't have done it. He is one person who devised those speculative claims. And then the next thing we know, he's promoting Wolfgang Halbig, who claims that he was a former Florida Highway Patrolman. However, I had a person call into my program. He also emailed me, and I talked about this on my Friday program. He says he was a former Highway Patrolman for 3 years. It actually turns out it was probably less than a year. He was a rookie that didn't make the cut. You are always on probation for a year, whether you claim you were a customs agent or whether you claim that you were a highway patrolman. He didn't make the cut. He was let go. And he is very good at making claims. He has collected a lot of money. He sued a lot of people, and I'm not talking just about since Sandy Hook. He's a very litigious individual who has sued a lot of people, including his former school district that he worked for. Now, just this year,
Hold on. Deanna, you probably can't hear the brake bump. Let's take this break. We'll come back. We'll have about 5 minutes left. All right, we're back. A few remaining minutes with the program. My guest for the past 2 hours, Deanna Spengola, the book, ladies and gentlemen, Screening Sandy Hook, Causes and Consequences. Now, back to Wolfgang Halbig. When I spoke to him last week, Deanna, he said that he didn't want to talk about anything else except Sandy Hook because he needs to maintain a credibility standard because... He just gave a class to the New York City Police Department, 150 officers, for active shooter drills.
Oh, sure did. I don't know whether he did or not, but
yeah.
I mean, if you look at his education, I've got on my website, I have Halbig notes, I have questions for Halbig. His claims are just inflated. He claimed that he was in the Air Force from 1967 to 1970. He joined when he was 20, and he claims that he was part of the Strategic Air Command, that he was a combative measures instructor, a disaster preparedness instructor, and a physical fitness specialist. He also claims that he was instrumental in the Columbine investigation. He claims that the Justice Department, then he also claims that the Board of Education or the education department, the Department of Education called him, and that he was asked to participate at Columbine. And yet there's absolutely no evidence on the internet that he was involved in Columbine, except an article that he wrote for a local Florida newspaper. And he's also stated that he was a guest on Dateline, Good Morning America, talking about school safety. And yet he provides no links. It seems that he became a school safety expert after Fetzer introduced him as a school safety expert. But if you look at his certificates, excuse me, he has three certificates on his Facebook, which is now defunct, and those are all available online for you can take an open book test to get an Emergency Management Institute, a FEMA certificate stating that you are certified. I mean, anybody could do this. It's an open book test. You can get it. When I talked to him about the organization that he started in October of 2012, I asked him about how he started it, and he said that they had a suite, and that it actually turned out to be a post office box at the local UPS store. He also had on that website two people who had died at least 1 year and 3 years before he started his website, which was the Children's Safety Institute. And he used two people who were dead. Now, if he's going to use dead references, and he's going to use a fake address, and he's going to make these other claims. And the other thing is, he took the website down 3 days after I interviewed him on March 4th. And then went to the public and said, oh gosh, I've been fired. He withdrew. He had two lawsuits against officials in Connecticut. He withdrew those. He is now using the money that he has collected from donors to go after bloggers who have hurt his itty bitty feelings.
All right. We are out of time. Deanna, I just want to thank you for coming on the program. This is not an easy thing to do, to go against the grain, so to speak, in the alternative media. And it takes a lot of guts to do that. And I greatly appreciate you coming on air for these 2 hours. Folks, we're all after the very same thing. Do you want to be loaded for bear? You want to be with the true facts, or do you want to go with innuendo and rumor? Deanna, thank you.
Thank you very much.